think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. Yeah, that's pretty rare that you got one in right at 5 o'clock. 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. It's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. You can also watch us on the Twitch channel. Put your comments on there. A lot of people saying, well, I did a 23-hour flight, and my coworker leaves for the Philippines tomorrow, 22-hour flight. I don't do those. So,
yeah. Why would you go there?
Yeah, I
don't do that.
I don't like four-hour flights. About 3.5 is the most I can handle before I start getting antsy. So,
you know me. There's a lot of places I'm not looking to go.
Yeah, and Philippines is one of them.
Yeah, I don't need to go there.
They don't let you smoke weed in the Philippines, so it's never going to happen. I think for something like that, I'd almost have to do a day in Hawaii or something. So, all right. Well, if you missed the first hour, Astros and Texans, pretty much what you would expect. Would you like to go through the rest of the NFL here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Because interesting day, to say the least. I wouldn't want to be an Atlanta fan last week.
Oh, boy.
Well, let's start off with the Panthers-Bucks in England. I love those 8:30 a.m. England games.
I do, too.
It's like the best thing in the world.
But guess what? No NFL Network. Although, I found out I can get it on Hulu.
Oh, really?
I think I just have to pay a little bit extra to get it on Hulu, so that's what I'm doing from now on.
I have NFL Network, so I watched it. I think my favorite part of this was... Well, this is one of the few things I got right. I bet the Panthers pretty heavy. But the free kick, one of my favorite things, and he missed it. But Panthers win at 37-26. You look at Jameis Winston's stat line, you're like, wow, 30 of 54, 400 yards, 5 interceptions, and a fumble.
Yeah.
And that took away any chance. They actually did a good job keeping Christian McCaffrey under control in that game, and they would have had a chance if Winston could have, even in the fourth quarter, they weren't out of it.
Jameis Winston's horrible. I really think they're going to have to do something. I don't think they can keep running that guy out there. I don't think he's going to be back with his team next year.
Seahawks beat the Browns 32-28. How about the Seahawks 5-1?
Yeah, how about the Seahawks are the biggest luck box team? Like
that they do seem to
I don't understand. I mean, they get some really crazy penalty luck. Like there's a call that's just a total phantom call late in the game that's like really a game deciding play. It was just weird to me, and I mean, mind you, Baker Mayfield throwing 3 picks didn't help the Browns' cause. I still feel like at 5-1, and I, you know, to be totally honest, transparent, I bet the Browns plus 1.5. But I feel like at 5-1, the Seahawks are about as overvalued as an NFL team can be right now, because I do not think they're as good as that record says. They're in the same boat as the Saints to me. Like, I think they're good, but I don't think they're like elite level good.
I think the Saints are elite level good when they get Drew Brees back.
Maybe if Drew Brees comes back right.
I think he will. But here's the difference. The Seahawks have a legitimate MVP candidate at quarterback.
Well, the other difference is the Saints have a defense. The Seahawks really don't.
No. I mean,
but the Seahawks are bad.
But they have Russell Wilson.
21 out of 22 spots.
But they have Russell Wilson. Redskins, Dolphins, who cares?
I mean, somebody had to win.
Yeah.
Someone's O had to go.
And the Dolphins went for 2 at least.
Hey.
Then called one of the worst plays you'll ever see in that
they
situation.
They weren't trying to win that game. Come on.
Here's one that you had nailed from the beginning. Vikings 38, Eagles 20. Big game from Kirk Cousins, which I think you said exactly was what was going to happen against that secondary.
Yes, Stephon Diggs back to being the monster he was a year ago. Eagles just with no answers on that side of the ball. Defensively, they're just a bad team.
Saints, who we talked about a little bit earlier, go on the road, beat the Jaguars 13-6.
What a rock fight.
Well, the Jaguars are going to make you play like that. And frankly, without Drew Brees, the Saints are going to have to play like that. Dude, some.
This is going to sound crazy. I usually don't bet games that early, and I had to actually call in a favor to have a guy go to Westgate in Las Vegas and put down a bet for me because the online books weren't open yesterday for next week's NFL. You know what the total for Bengals Jags next week opened at? 47.
Oh jeez.
By the time my guy got there, it was 46.
Yeah. But you still got a great price.
I think it's 43 now. My numbers say 36.
Yeah, I was going to say 38 should be the number.
I mean,
there.
It is that's a real rare, what I think is a mistake by those books to put out a number like that. That was very odd to me.
Bengals,
nobody scoring in those games.
They covered at least 23-17. Ravens win it. Ravens 4-2. I kind of feel like the Ravens are a sort of a phony 4-2. I just don't think they're that good.
I don't think they're that good either. But listen, these guys are winning games, and they play in a horrible division.
Yeah. Okay. This one just wrong on. 49ers are good. The Rams. There's something wrong with the Rams. They look predictable. Offensively, they don't look nearly as explosive. I didn't think missing Todd Gurley would make that much of a difference. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't.
I don't know that it didn't. Yeah. Or I don't know that it did. I just think that the Rams, they've got like five plays in their playbook. And if you could shut those down, they're in trouble. And Goff is, you talk about a guy who a year ago looked awesome. And it's like, man, maybe.
I guess it's fair to ask it now because we've got a bigger body of work. Did the Patriots expose how to defend these guys?
Maybe so. I mean, it's quite possible. But the other problem is, defensively, they're not as good as they've been. And their offensive line's not good. Their defense in the secondary specifically is not good. It was just a really disappointing performance. And, you know, I've been having the Rams kind of high up in my power ratings despite losing back-to-back games. I had to drop them pretty significantly this week.
Yeah, them and the Cowboys are the two teams that have taken the biggest plunge in my power rankings.
They just the Rams just weren't competitive in that game.
No. And, I mean, they look predictable.
And they've scored like a million points against the 49ers the last two times they played them. And then this time they just show up and they can't do anything on that side of the ball.
We mentioned what a bad week it was for Atlanta. Cardinals win at 34-33 on a missed Matt Bryant extra point.
I felt so bad for it because they did claw all the way back.
Yeah.
Much to the joy of my fantasy team that has Matt Ryan at quarterback, because that's what I always say about these Falcons. I mean, that's what's if you get the Falcons in an underdog role, they can often cover because they'll keep chucking the ball and they'll come back on you, but came almost all the way back.
Poor Matt Ryan, 30 of 36 for 356 and 4 TDs, and they can't lose.
And of course, who do you think's going to get the blame?
Oh, Matt Ryan, yeah.
Matt Ryan. Hey, but they got to fire that coach.
But Kyler Murray had a big game, too, against an awful defense. But he had his best game as a pro. So
I think that's 2 weeks in a row we've seen guys have career days against the Falcons defense. This may be a trend.
Yeah, well, Deshaun had that's a lifetime game last week. So. Boy. All right, so
who do the Falcons play next week?
I don't know, but I think they may be on the bye. I could be wrong.
No, they get the Rams.
Oh, great.
Goff's getting right next
week.
Yeah,
that'll be there's the over. Broncos shut out the Titans 16-0.
No, don't say there's the over. You know why? You know what the total was on the Falcons Cardinals game? 68.
Really?
It finished at 67 because of a missed extra point.
Oh, wow. It was really 68?
Yeah.
Wow. I would have never thought that. I thought it was like low 60s earlier.
No, it was 68.
Huh. Broncos shut out the Titans 16-0, and Marcus Mariota benched for Ryan Tannehill.
Deservedly so, by the way.
Your favorite quarterback returned.
Boy.
He had some decent numbers, but they didn't score any points.
How odd is this Titans team? Like, one week they're inept, completely inept. I mean, yesterday, they couldn't have been worse than they were yesterday offensively. And then a couple weeks ago, they're like putting up 100 points. Like, What is that team? I have no idea. I don't trust them, though.
Well, the thing is, we talked about them early on being a high variance team. I think they're settling into being just not a very good team. And I'm real curious about the Thursday.
And part one of their wins, so they've put up 16, no, they've put up 0, 7, 7, 17, 24, and 43. That's in their two wins. One of those wins against the Falcons, 24 points against the Falcons, 43 against the Browns.
Right.
Colts, Jags, Bills, Broncos combined 31 points in four games. Mm. So it could be a little bit matchup dependent.
Well, I'm really interested in this Thursday night game because the Broncos can run the football and the Chiefs can't stop the run.
Yeah.
And it's,
well, it's only 3.5 point.
Yeah, there's not enough value there, but it's at Denver. That's going to be a really intriguing game. All right. Boy, this one is completely wrong.
The problem will be if the Chiefs score early. The Browns don't have a passing, or the Broncos don't have a passing game.
No, no. But if they can get out there and just grind, I think it could be an interesting game. I have to say, I was completely wrong about the Cowboys. Not only do they not cover, they don't even win the damn game. And honestly, they really shouldn't have been in it late. And their problem now, what the hell happened to their defense? I mean, the Jets don't have the weapons to go out there and score 24 points against them.
I think Sam Darnold made a huge difference, obviously. But I was more impressive with what the Jets did on the defensive side, because that's the side that they're supposed to be pretty decent on. But when you're three and out, it's hard for your defense to be any good. They looked really good this week. One of the things I will say, though, is, I mean, this is a little bit of, when you say they shouldn't have even been close, I don't know if I agree with that, because they outgained them. They won the turnover battle. I mean, there's a lot of ways that the Cowboys should have been in this game. It's almost miraculous that they lost, given the way they played.
Yeah, they were down so far early, which, you know, and then it's almost like last week. They got knocked on their asses, and then they got some garbage yards.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it, because I at no point did I ever think they were going to come back and win that game. And not only, I mean, 3-3 now. That team looked so good early on when they were playing bad teams.
They were supposed to go to the Super Bowl in week three.
But I think the real problem with them is, well, there were two problems yesterday. And if I'd known Tyron Smith wasn't going to play, I would have totally backed off of that, because that guy makes such a huge difference on that team. I did think he was going to play up until game time. And then the other thing is their defense has just not been good. And,
well, it looked really good against the New York Giants with Eli
when
Manning.
It was Eli. Yeah. Now, if it's Daniel Jones, I'm not so sure I'd like him. And then last night's game, Steelers beat the Chargers 24-17.
Perfect game for me, because my biggest NFL bet of the week was under 41.5.
Ooh.
Came right up to the edge.
It sniffed it.
But got it, I got that in, and then I had Steelers +7, so it was a double win for me. That game, I mean, I wouldn't have expected the Steelers to just go out there and boat race them like they did. But the Chargers, I mean, you're making mistakes. You can't win like that. You're turning the ball over deep in your own territory. I mean, it was 14-0 off two turnovers in an instant. The Chargers aren't built to play from behind like that. They're just not. And they're not coached well. They don't use the clock well. The Chargers, to me, are one of my least favorite teams right now, watching them play. It's really frustrating. I almost feel bad for Phil Rivers, who, by the way, barking in the ear last night after he's got that guy by his collar, like yelling at him coming off the field after they lose the game. It's like, dude,
you know what, though?
You lost. Get over it.
Phillip Rivers, still pretty good fantasy quarterback for those of us who haven't. But, I did something I always tell people not to do. I got my ass kicked so bad this weekend, and I looked at that. I looked at the Steelers, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to make a big bet on Steelers' money line. Because I hate the way the Chargers have played over the last couple weeks. I think Pittsburgh's still got enough talent. If this Devlin Hodges guy can just not suck, they'll be all right. So I wound up making a bigger bet than I should have. And it's one of those that I don't feel good about, even though I hit it, because it was basically, it was a tilt bet. And I like to never go on tilt, but I got killed so bad this weekend.
Well, I was down, and we'll talk college football later on in the show, but we talked at Beaumont that I was down $1,200 for the year betting college football, and I was up, you know, $1,210 or whatever it was betting NFL. I literally had $10 difference. So after being down $1,200 going into this weekend, I'm up I think $400-something on the season.
Nice.
So very, very solid weekend. Dug all the way out of my hole and then put some put some whipped cream on it.
I'm down to $200 for the season now. After
there you
this
go.
One. So yeah, that was brutal, but it's been a bad stretch. And usually what I do here now is I'll go and I'll redo my power rankings. I'll redo the computer rankings, and because you have more data points, but yeah, this is one of those self-scouting back to the drawing board stretches that. You know, I do about two or three times a season. So hopefully, I already see some stuff I love for next week. So,
all right. You know what I love? Carbach. Everybody loves Carbach. By the way, Eric Warner will be here at 6 o'clock. We'll talk to him for a little while. And guys, if you haven't been out to the restaurant, I don't know what you're waiting for. If you haven't been to the brewery, it's a fantastic time. They've got great food, tons of great beer, including some beer that you can't get anywhere but the restaurant. And guys, I'm talking about all the food pairs perfectly with one of the beers they've got on the wall. They design their menu so it pairs perfectly with what they've got on the wall. And they've done so great with these concert series. Foam Hinge is the next one coming up Sunday, November 10th. Foam Hinge, the third annual Foam Hinge. Ace Frehley is the headliner. Tickets are available now at carbachbrewing.com. You can get regular tickets or VIP tickets. And you want to follow them on Facebook. You want to follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Keep up with what they've got going on in the concert series, out at the restaurant and in the brewery, what kind of beers they've got coming up. And when you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach. You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hold.
Watch me make them bow. One by one by one. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. There's a story on ESPN about how the rain could alter both series. So if rainout occurs, Yankees and Astros would be rescheduled to play games 4 and 5 Thursday and Friday in New York. There would be no off day. There would be returning to Houston for game 6 on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if that winds up being the case. So that would alter things quite a bit.
Yeah. I saw a couple people pissed off that, and I don't understand this. I get wanting to put the National League in primetime once. Cole Severino isn't the day to put the AL game on at 3 o'clock and the Hudson Corbin matchup on in primetime. If you're going to do a primetime game for the National League, do it when Strasburg or Scherzer's pitching. Like, it's just an odd thing. That Cole Severino matchup, that's probably the best matchup, you know, that you're going to get.
Yeah.
Maybe besides last night was pretty good. At least it was supposed to be.
Well, to me,
it's good for 2 1/3.
Not going to let that go, are you?
No.
No, I agree with you. But, yeah, frankly, I don't think anything but the AL should be in primetime. I don't care about the NL.
The Cardinals are.
I mean, tonight's matchup's pretty good.
Yeah.
But they get it primetime. So there's your primetime. Go back to afternoons.
Yeah. I think the Major League Baseball is just trying to make them not look like the bottom bitch, even though they are.
Well, yeah.
Just deal with it.
The Cardinals have a pretty good following. I mean, those teams have
good followings, both of them.
Yeah, and Washington's kind of got an interesting story to it, so I get it, but it's not the Yankees.
Especially on that night, not on Cole Severino night.
Well, you know what? That just means
that they should have put game 4 where who knows who either team is pitching for the, you know, in game 4. Put that on prime, or put that in the daytime slot.
The bullpen game and the Urquidy game.
Yeah.
Of course, if it rains, it doesn't matter, right?
No.
Want to go over some college football?
Sure.
Since we're going to have Eric at 6, so would like to get some of these in. Friday night, one of the few things that went right for me all weekend was Oregon crushing Colorado, 45-3.
That started me on the right path, Fred.
Yeah, well, really got me going. That was my moment where I thought, okay, it's going to be a good week, and then it just. I had,
Before, I'm 11-3 in college football this week.
I was 0-3 and 0-5 for the week. And all five, I had road dogs. My record on road dogs going into this weekend was 6-0. Now it's 6-5. I mean, road favorite, excuse me. And they all lost outright, so I was completely wrong. Miami beats Virginia. That was another one I looked at. I took a long look at Miami and didn't play it.
I by the time I got to taking Miami, I didn't want to give the points. It was like 3.5, and I was like, no. It ends up wouldn't have mattered. I should have taken them. Although they kind of, I mean, little box score fraudy.
Yeah.
Virginia kind of outplayed them. Just Miami got some points late and sealed the deal.
Cincinnati comes in and beats Houston 38-23. Would have been nice to know that Clayton Tune hadn't practiced for 2 weeks before that game. Because that was one of the things you were counting on. He's like, had all this time.
Yeah. No.
So they rotate quarterbacks, and they were in it until a late pick six. And I think Cincinnati was a little flat after that, the game against UCF, and that's why it stayed close. But another loss for the Cougars, who you can just give up on. And Cincinnati's really good on defense.
They've given up.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it.
A&M gets beat by Alabama. Tua's just got so many weapons. They've got
those two receivers. I'm trying to think of the time. Is Lance on with us today? No, is he too busy?
He's still on. He's on the plane to New York right now.
Oh, okay. We'll have to talk to him about this. I wonder when the last time there were two wide receivers on the same team that were going to be drafted as high as these two guys are. Like, find me the last time two wide receivers from one team went in the first round. But they're a problem. And they're going to be a problem for everybody. And Tua, I think Tua's good. I don't know how great Tua is. I just know that he's got some serious weapons. Jerry Jeudy, good luck in space with that guy. I mean, he's making guys look stupid. And A&M, who I think is okay defensively, they looked stupid against him.
Yeah, the problem is, I think A&M, they're a good team, but they're way overmatched against the Alabamas and Clemsons, especially defensively. And they really didn't have an answer. And now they're just 3-3, so you can kind of write that one off. Clemson 45-14 over Florida State.
Finally started to look like Clemson a little bit.
Yeah, and I think part of it was the Florida State narrative started being, well, they could be 5-0, and maybe they're not as bad as we think. No, they are as bad as you think.
Yeah.
The upset of the year.
Yeah, probably.
South Carolina over Georgia.
Yeah, I told everybody I knew, take the points with South Carolina. I didn't see this coming. And Georgia's, their whole month, it's a sleepy month. They don't play anybody good. I think, after that Notre Dame game, I thought they would be in a little bit of a funk until the Florida game. And they didn't really have any problem last week at Tennessee. It seemed like maybe Tennessee was starting to bubble. Georgia did all right with them. But they just went into this game. They looked lackadaisical. They didn't look good. Jake Fromm throws the first pick six of his career.
Yeah, and that was a bad pass, too.
But
South Carolina's down to a third-string quarterback.
Yeah, and Rodrigo Blankenship's the best kicker in college football.
Misses
the game tying field goal. If it could have gone wrong for Georgia, it went wrong. They may look to really, really get right against Kentucky next week. Just throwing that out there.
Well, the good news for Georgia is if they went out and SEC, they're fine. But this,
easier said than done.
This also takes, well, yeah, because they've got a couple of pretty tough opponents later on.
Although I think they're better than Florida. I think they're better than Auburn. I think they're better than everybody on their schedule. But then based on what I saw yesterday, could I see them beating Alabama or LSU? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say both those teams would be favored over them. Speaking of LSU, that game wound up being better than I thought. Florida hung in there with them for most of it.
Oh, I was so mad because I was on LSU minus 12.5, and then fourth down, roughing the passer on a bogus, bogus call, and they get four new downs. LSU stops them again.
Yeah.
Got me the money.
See, I actually had 13.5, so I was feeling pretty good about it. But the reality is,
I was disgusted for a minute, but job, Tigers.
Be honest. Probably shouldn't have covered because Florida did play really well in that game. Kyle Trask had a big game. I don't like the way Dan Mullen rotated his quarterbacks at times. I think it took away from some of the things they were doing well. But LSU, I don't understand how their defense gives up as many points as they do. They have so many playmakers on that side of the ball.
Those guys are getting tired.
Yeah, well,
it's a high tempo offense now.
Delpit might be the best defensive player in the country. I mean, he's just everywhere. And that freshman kid, oh my God, but they just, you're right, they spend too much time on the field. But LSU is legit, man. And
they are, specifically on the offensive side.
I do think it'll be interesting when they play Alabama because I think they can play with them, but I just don't know that they can beat them. We've got a lot more to get to. Well, since we're not going to have Lance, we'll just do UT and all those when we come back.
All right. I got to tell you about CBDMD. And, man, I've told you guys for a while I'm a big fan of CBD. I use it for a lot of reasons, for pain management. I've got cranky old shoulders and knees and just an old beat-up man. I'll just use it after workouts. If I go lift, I'll use it. CBD Free, CBD Recover, I use both of them. I like the oil. I like the gummies. They've got a ton of different ways to use it. But CBDMD has really been a game changer for me. First of all, it's cut down on my cost significantly. I mean, look on their website. You'll see how much their stuff is compared to how much the other guys are, the leading brands. CBDMD is going to save you a ton of money. And I've been feeling great after my workouts. I've been feeling great just daily. I take a little bit of the oil every day when I wake up. It just helps focus me. I've had less headaches. It's just a miracle drug, really. Guys, they're clean. They're tested. These are the kind of guys you want to do business with, a 30-day money-back guarantee. And they've got a special deal for our listeners, 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Vault on the Twitch channel, Craig Davis and Dwayne Bowe from LSU 2007, Santana Moss, Reggie Wayne 2001, Ike Hilliard, Rydell Anthony 97. And somebody mentioned they didn't go in the same year, but Watkins and Hopkins.
Yeah.
From Clemson. But that's a pretty thin list there. And really...
Was Mike Williams... Oh, Mike Williams was a second rounder, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. So, anyway, there's a...
But the Tide might have three guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking off air.
Between Devontae and Judy and Ruggs.
Yeah.
They might have three guys who could be... I mean, I don't know enough about... you know, mock drafts and stuff like that. That's why I wanted to ask Lance about it. But
there are some 2020 mock drafts already out there, by the way. Somebody sent me one. What do you think? And I go, November.
What's Holly think of
or October. I don't know.
Can we get her mock draft, 2020 mock draft?
I think she's still licking her wounds from yesterday and the fact that her Eagles just aren't very good.
Eagles, cry.
So Oklahoma, Texas, 34-27 was the final. The good news is if you bet on Texas, they covered. Bad news is you probably didn't deserve to cover.
Yeah,
Oklahoma was clearly the better team.
Yeah, Texas just got outclassed in that game. And, you know, at least with the LSU game, to me, the LSU game, the final score wasn't as close as the game.
Yeah.
In this game, the final score was closer than the game. And, I mean, not to say that Texas didn't have a chance to do something late. They did. They just shouldn't have because
yeah.
Oklahoma outplayed them start to finish. Most impressive thing to me was Oklahoma defensively.
Yeah.
And again, Texas could not stop Jalen Hurts running the football. And Jalen Hurts isn't a great passer. He's good enough. But, man, you have got to take that aspect of his game away.
And it's hard. It's hard to do, though. Even if you spy him, he's so big. He can break a tackle like a running back easily. And, you know, he's improved as a passer under Lincoln Riley. There's no question. But I still think that's when he's most dangerous, is when he takes off running. He's just he's not your standard running quarterback. He's a big dude. And it's like trying to tackle, you know, an Adrian Peterson type. Yeah. And it's but Oklahoma's defense was terrific in this game. And you know, they belong in the top four right now. Wisconsin, there's another one. 38-0 over Michigan State. Their defense doesn't give up anything.
They've allowed 5 points per game. Less than 5 points per game this season.
Let me see. That's five. Is that less than a touchdown?
That's, yeah.
Okay.
They have, in six games, they have 4 shutouts. That's ridiculous. And you can say, talk about who it was against. Michigan State, I think we can agree, is a respected football program.
Yeah.
They didn't even really come close to scoring a touchdown. I mean, this Wisconsin team may be better than anybody we're talking about. We don't really know yet, but
we'll find out when they play Ohio State.
Yeah. I think at this point, it's really hard to argue that they're one of the... Like, if you had to make a 4-team playoff right now, could you leave them out?
Thankfully, we don't have to make a 4-team playoff right now, but yeah, I couldn't.
Their lowest scoring game is 24 points. The most allowed is 15. They've scored 49, 61, 35, 24, 48, 38. They've allowed 0-0, 14, 15, 0-0.
How could you pick 4 right now out of Wisconsin, Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama?
Clemson.
Yeah, I'm tossing Clemson out.
Yeah.
And that's not even fair.
Which, by the way, Wake Forest lost, so that means any ACC loss for Clemson, they're dead.
You were finally right about Wake Forest. It just took a while.
Yeah.
Notre Dame over USC. Slovis played for USC, got him back in the game late.
Dude, USC should have won that game, too. There were some really questionable calls, some really questionable spots in that game. USC with a slow start, so I'm not going to feel too bad for them, but they should have won that game outright, probably.
Penn State beats Iowa 17-12. That's a game that I thought Iowa would be able to win, but...
I think it was 4.5 or something. Yeah, that's a tough number.
right about where it was supposed to be, but... Penn State, again, they're still the Florida of the Big Ten. They just didn't lose this week.
Yeah.
Boise beat Hawaii easily. Utah beat Oregon State easily. No surprises there. Michigan over Illinois. Arizona State beats Washington State. Very entertaining game.
It was a good game.
I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of that, but it was pretty exciting. As was Louisville over Wake Forest.
1 million to 990,000.
Baylor wins at Tech, and I think most people were... really upset about the call.
And should have been.
Yeah.
And again, that's another total box score fraud game. I mean, Tech just dominated that game statistically. I don't know how Baylor wins that game, but there's some really questionable calls.
They got a benefit there of a big time of that call. But, you know, kudos to Baylor for being unbeaten. But I also think Tech is finally starting to figure it out a little bit under Wells, because they handled Oklahoma State last week. They should have won this week.
No Although question. Oklahoma State is starting to turn into a pumpkin. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to win. I think they were 6.5 was their over. I don't know if they're going to get there.
And Temple beats Memphis. It's another one I was wrong about. Memphis comes out in the first quarter and just gives the ball away as many times as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was watching that. And the only time I got out of the house this weekend was we went and went over to El Tiempo and got some Mexican food and was watching that game and having a few margaritas, you know, keeping up from the night before. And, I'm watching the first quarter, and I'm like, I'm so bleeped on this game because they just want to give the ball to Temple. Congratulations.
Temple's outstanding as an underdog, like, over the last several years.
And I've been riding them like crazy all year. I just also, I had a pretty good differential from the spread on the power rankings and the computer. It did not work out.
I mean, does that knock Memphis out of the New Year's Six conversation?
Not entirely. But they can't lose again, obviously, and I think they're going to have to they'll have to win this side of the conference, and then I don't know that UCF's going to be sexy. It'd have to be Cincinnati, maybe.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't think Boise's losing a game.
Yeah,
they're playing at BYU this week. BYU, the reason why I was against BYU this week, they're so beat up. They don't have anybody on the offensive side. Then they're at San Jose State. That's a win. Wyoming, New Mexico, Utah State, Colorado State. That's the rest of their schedule.
And then a championship game, which...
I don't think Boise State's going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, San Diego State, if that's who they play, or Hawaii, I guess, that could give them a game. But they just beat the hell out of Hawaii, although it was at home.
Yeah, but, you know, if they'd had to go to Hawaii, it might be different. But
maybe so.
It's not. I mean, they're not going to have to go to Hawaii because they already won.
Yeah, so, I think they're the favorites.
Yeah,
I don't think they're the best of those teams, but...
Yeah, but I agree with you. I don't see them losing, and if they don't, they deserve it. So, and they're... I think they're good enough to give somebody a game in one of the, you know, especially if it's a team that's not very motivated. But do I think they're better than UCF, Memphis, Cincinnati? Probably not.
I mean, the reality is they're probably going to end up playing a team like LSU.
Yeah.
And it's just going
to be brutal,
nightmarish, because LSU will be salty they didn't get in.
Yeah, it'll be like last year with LSU. Mm. They were pissed off then. But
you were talking about UH and how it's kind of a lost season at this point. The good news is, UH, UConn on deck.
Yeah,
you want to get feeling right? Let me tell you how to do it. Play UConn.
You can't lose that one. It's impossible, but you might not cover the 22.
You might not do that.
Although, God, UConn is so awful.
You probably should.
Yeah, but so there you go. I think I've come away from this weekend feeling like, you know, the teams at the top, and Georgia was one that I wasn't 100% sold on. I never thought that would happen, though.
I didn't either. I mean, I thought that they'd have a tough game because I figured they'd sleepwalk in, but I didn't think they'd lose. That's embarrassing.
So he asked, do you think Arkansas can give Chad Morris much longer? Losing to Kentucky, who started a receiver, quarterback is a bad look.
I mean, Chad Morris has guys. I mean, every quarterback is throwing interceptions. I mean, none of these guys are any good. And Chad Morris was supposed to be like an offensive genius. And now he's got multiple guys, Hicks and Starkle. Neither one of them can throw the ball. I mean, what a mess. And that was one of my three losses this week, was Kentucky. I had Kentucky minus 4 or 4.5, and it finished at 4 because they took knees at the end. They could have kicked the field goal to win it, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, they weren't paying attention.
Yeah.
But to your question, I still like Chad Morris as a coach.
Oh, I don't know if I do.
I think the job may be too big for him. Arkansas is a place that's a lot like Texas Tech. You need somebody who does things a little differently there. And I don't know that Chad Morris is the guy for that job. I think he might have been better served to stay at SMU, where I think he could have built something long term. But I think the job may be too big for him. Is you look at the coaches you have to go up against in the SEC. You've got to be an exceptional coach just to be competitive.
If I were him, I'd ask to go back and be the QB coach at Clemson again, try and hit reset.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say give him another year because I don't know about you. I'm not seeing, you always say 3 years is probably what it takes. I'd like to see progress. Yeah, I'm not really seeing progress, though. I'm seeing him go backwards a little bit.
They're 0-11 in SEC play since he's been there. I don't know that it's going to – I mean, I don't know if that team's going to win a game anytime soon. I got to see if Vanderbilt's on their schedule this year. If Vanderbilt's not on their schedule this year, Kentucky was their only chance. So my guess is they don't win an SEC game again this year. You got – I mean, 2 years, no SEC wins, it has to be a consideration.
Well, and I think Arkansas has to have better expectations than that. I mean, I know you're not going to be Alabama, but
three of your last six games, Auburn, Alabama, LSU.
Oh, jeez. I mean, you should at least be
at Alabama and at LSU, mind you.
I think you can expect to at least be at the top of that group of Mississippi State, and be able to compete with Aggie, theoretically. All right. Of course, they always compete with Aggie. They just don't beat them. Quick break. Don't go anywhere. Gym of the Day coming up next. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Couple things people asking before we get to the gym of the day. Do you think Jason Garrett's job's in jeopardy? No, I don't. I mean, I think he's got He's got the Bill O'Brien contract. I just don't see him. I don't see the Cowboys doing anything until the end of the year. And even if they were to lose this week to the Eagles, which might be more embarrassing than losing to the Jets right now. And then people asking about the game tonight. Do you have an opinion on that one?
On the game, the Packers game tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
I said before, I don't. You're talking about 3.5 points. I think the Packers' home field alone is 3.5 points, at least. And now you're telling me these teams are equal. And I know that they've got some injuries. The Packers are beat up. I think this Lions offensive front, offensive line is bad. And the Packers have been able to get to quarterbacks. I like the Pack here. I don't really see the Lions being what everybody seems to think they are. I don't get it. I'm not getting the love.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Let us go to the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I think this is kind of a cool story. Yeah, we'll have to see how it plays out. But a guy named Dr. Peter Scott Morgan in England has ALS. He's also a robotics expert.
Okay.
So
we love robots.
He is trying to turn himself into the first cyborg.
Oh, nice.
So that's his way of trying to beat ALS. He was diagnosed 2 years ago. They told him he would basically last about 2 years. So he decided to, as an experiment, to turn his body into a cyborg. And he says, and when I say cyborg, I don't just mean any old cyborg, but by far the most advanced human cybernetic organism ever created. He said, almost everything about me is going to be irreversibly changed, body and brain. Goes without saying that all my physical interaction with the world will become robotic.
Damn.
And naturally, my existing five senses are going to be enhanced. But he says, far more importantly, part of my brain and all of my external persona will soon be electronic and totally synthetic. He says, from then on, I'll be part hardware, part wetware, part digital, part analog. This is like way over my head, but
yeah.
It sounds like it's pretty cool because he seems to think he can live another 10 years like this.
Okay.
Well, that's why I think it's kind of a cool story because, I mean,
how do you feel about that?
I hate ALS, and if somebody...
I hate that, too. What I also hate is the fact that we're just trying to become a society that gives free rein to robots.
Well, listen, we've already established that the robots are going to take over. If it's not them, it's going to be the monkeys, or it's going to be the zombies, or the aliens.
There's a lot of choices.
Yeah, one of them is going to kill us all. So, you know, if it winds up being cyborg, at least it's part human, right?
I guess. That makes you feel better.
It does. I'd rather lose to part human than... For instance, the monkeys. How embarrassing would that be? We get Planet of the Apes, and we supposedly evolved from them, and they beat our ass?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. That's like Georgia losing to South Carolina. You can't have that. So I guess I would say Cyborg 1, Alien 2, Apes 3, Zombies 4. Because zombies are just, yeah. Nobody wants to lose to the zombies. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. Boy, someone reminded me that Chad Morris, while he was at SMU, he was only 8-16 in conference play in the AAC. Like, he probably should have never gotten that Arkansas job. He had one winning season.
Yeah, he had the last year, it looked like he'd got things to where they were going to go.
They were 7-5. I mean, I don't know if it's even one good year. I mean, look at SMU now.
Well, I think Sonny Dykes is a better coach.
Oh, clearly. But, so that means he's in 6 years as a head, or five years, this is his fifth year as a head coach. He's 8-27 in conference play. He's got 18 wins total. 8 of them are in conference play. No thanks.
Can we please get to an OU-UT breakdown? Yeah,
we did.
Go back to 5:15. We went over that game in detail.
Fred did horns down.
God, you know, I think it's such a bitch move to get pissed off over
horns down. It's such a weird deal that it's
disrespectful. Oh, come on. Don't come up with something like that if you don't want somebody to put a better spin on it. And people still trying to argue with me over the Tariq Hill thing. Look, I said, yeah, the ball might have gone through his hands. I don't think he could have made the play. I don't think he could have tipped the ball. He mistimed his jump. That's the disagreement. Now, I agree he should have knocked it down, but I also think the way he was falling backwards, and maybe the other guy made a really good play. Can I just, you know, give him credit for that? So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Any thoughts on the baseball game tonight? You got a pretty damn good pitching matchup.
Yeah, should be fun to watch at least.
It's got to be must-win for the Cards, right?
Oh, certainly. I mean,
you can't go down 3-0.
How many hits? Have they had three hits?
Well, what? One game they got into the eighth with a no-hitter. The other game they got to the seventh with a no-hitter. We're bitching about the Astros' bats.
And that's both home games? Man, they're in trouble. They better figure it out in a hurry because things don't look good right now for them. That's a team, I mean, to have home field and lose the first two like that where you just don't even show up. That's concerning, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little worried about their offense, but not that worried. Thought they'd get a hit.
And then it was so weird. I thought that Flaherty pitched 100-something pitches in the Braves game where they blew him out. So now he's got to go against Strasburg, and my guess is he's not looking to go give it up. Strasburg's not going to get punked out.
Yeah, and Strasburg has been terrific throughout these playoffs. That's why I would love to see I know there's a long way to go, but how cool would it be if you had like Verlander, Scherzer in game one and Cole Strasburg in game two?
Amazing.
How badass would that be? Squeeze a couple calls on Gary, since we were just talking about that. What's up, Gary?
Sports, Gary.
What's up, man?
Sports.
Yeah, what about them Cardinals? They going to pull off tonight or what?
Eh, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with no. I think that the – I just think the Nationals are better. I think they're pitching better. I think they're – I mean, clearly they're hitting better. I think they're just a better team. I don't think they were going to go – I don't think there was any way that the Nationals were going to beat the Dodgers and then lose to the Cardinals. The Nationals already beat the best team in the NL.
Yeah, and anybody who thinks, oh, whoever wins out of this Astros-Yankees series is going to roll.
No.
I'm telling you, you're going to – especially if they get it done early and they've got those two guys waiting for you.
Yep.
And they're getting starts like they did out of Sanchez. I mean,
if Anibal Sanchez is almost no-hitting you, you're in trouble when those other two dudes are on the mound.
All right, let's
– Corey.
Corey.
Sports, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Sports.
Hey, man.
Hey, so I have grown up as an Ohio State fan, unfortunately. I've been watching since Craig Krenzel was their quarterback. And I honestly think right now, as we stand, that Wisconsin should be ranked ahead of them. With the amount of talent that Wisconsin has in their defense, and this is going to be kind of a two-part question, do you think that Wisconsin should be ranked ahead of Ohio State as of now because of their limited body of work? And then after coming off a bye week and playing Northwestern, do you think Ohio State has a pretty decent chance of winning that game against Wisconsin? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say that Wisconsin should be ranked ahead of them because, man, every time I've seen Ohio State, they've looked fantastic,
yeah,
too.
What have they done wrong? And it doesn't matter where they're ranked right now. That's the thing. And I know that people love to argue over that, but they're going to play each other.
Yeah.
And it's going to sort itself out. So who's ranked where now means nothing. So I wouldn't get too caught up in that, but these are two of the most impressive teams that I've seen this year. That's the thing. I think there's five teams that truly stand out, and yeah, I don't know how I'd make it four. And this would be the year that we might wind up having that argument about,
well,
is four enough?
Well, Alabama's going to play LSU.
Yeah,
you know, Ohio State's going to play Wisconsin. It works itself out. But it just, if let's say,
but even if,
let's say LSU loses to Alabama, does that mean they're not better than Ohio State or Wisconsin?
And that's the point I was about to make. Yeah, or vice versa.
Or
and,
Clemson.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the day, you're going to look at a lot of teams and go, man, I think they're better than Clemson. I think a one-loss LSU is better than Clemson. And you'll be able to make a good argument with that.
And that's where style points come in sometimes. So if they go and they lose to Alabama by three in overtime, and it's a great game, How would you know that?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes it interesting. Tell you what else makes it interesting. If you're going to drink, and I just saw Eric walk in who, you know.
You're going to drink.
Well, guess what? You need cheers. And during the baseball playoffs, you really need cheers. And guess what? For the rest of the 2019 playoffs, they're offering a Houston-sized discount on all Cheers products. The theory is pretty simple. You watch the game, you drink, you take cheers, you feel better the next day. When you feel better, you root harder. And when you guys are rooting hard, the Astros are unstoppable. That's how they got that win last night. So this is how you do your part in bringing the World Series back to Houston. Go to cheershealth.com today. Enter promo code CRUSHCITY19 at checkout, and you'll get 19% off your next order of Cheers. That's cheershealth.com, code CRUSHCITY19 for 19% off all Cheers products. If you order it before 4 o'clock, you'll get it on the doorstep the next day because it's made right here in Houston. If you don't feel 50% better, they're going to give you your money back. So if you're a fan, stock up on Cheers. They're going to need you as fresh for Game 7 as you were last night. Remember, just 3 capsules after your last drink can make all the difference. Order today at cheershealth.com, promo code CRUSHCITY19. Cheershealth.com, promo code CRUSHCITY19.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.